line shot, tipped, score!
Time now for Kings Talk, where you, the listeners, call in with your questions and comments after every LA Kings playoff game. Tell Nick and Daryl what's on your mind.
Give yourselves a big hand. You're the best.
Call us at 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20. We'll also take a look at the stars of the game, the game highlights, and the playoff scoreboard. Kings Talk at 877-KINGS-20. Exclusively right here on the Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Hi again, everybody. Nick Nixon, Daryl Evans here at Rogers Place in Edmonton, where the Oilers win game two by a score of 4-2 to even the series at one win apiece. And again, games three and four at Crypto.com Arena this weekend, Friday and Sunday nights. Friday's game at 7 p.m., Sunday at 6 p.m. Well, one thing the Kings have to work on, Daryl, as they head home, is to try and figure out how to get a lead. It would be nice early in a game, because in both games, one and two, the Kings have been down by two goals, down 2-0 after the first periods.
Yeah, they've got to do a much better job, and I think that'll change when they get on home ice. The energy of the building should give the guys a bit of a jump, but they've got to be dialed in mentally. And as so many guys this morning, talking to them in the locker room after the pregame skate, they said this was different than last year. They knew they won game one of the series last year, and they also knew the way they performed the other night in the first period here. So I'd expect for them to be able to dial it in, but that wasn't the case. They were even flatter in the first period tonight than they were the last game. So that's going to be a big focus, is getting off to the right start, managing the puck a little bit better early on, time and possession with the puck. You can't play from behind against a team like this, because you make mistakes. When you expose yourself, they take advantage of them.
877-KINGS-20, 877-KINGS-20. We'll get you a trivia question in a moment, and winners of our trivia get a pair of tickets to a future Kings home game. Three stars tonight in this one, selected by the local media. Philip Deneau, he's had the assignment so far in the series, Daryl, and apparently Jay Woodcroft doesn't mind it because he's got the last line change. But in both game one and game two, Philip Deneau matched up with Connor McDavid. He's done a good job. McDavid has one assist in the two games. Deneau had a goal tonight. Good in other areas. He's the third star.
Yeah, 64% of the faceoff circle. You know, Deneau's had a real solid game. He's a real smart, headsy hockey player. And it's not to say that Connor McDavid hasn't done anything. He's got one assist. He's got at least 10 shots on goal in the first couple of games and some great A looks. He drew two penalties in the first game, but Philip Deneau has helped neutralize that. And the main reason that he's up against Connor McDavid is the Oilers love the matchup Draisaitl against Kopitar, because they've won that battle over the last number of games. So Philip Deneau will continue to keep getting that assignment from both sides. Both coaches like it, and he's doing a great job.
Good sign for Philip. Got a goal. He went the last 16 games of the regular season without a goal, his longest drought all season. Didn't score in game one, but got a goal here tonight. So a strong all-around game, a good checking on McDavid, as good as you can do. He only had one assist, has one assist, McDavid, in the two games. Philip Deneau, star number three. Speaking of Draisaitl, three more points tonight. He's got five in the two games. A goal and two assists. He's the second star.
Yeah, Draisaitl, just a dominant player. You know, he's setting the tone for his hockey club. The strength that he plays with, the amount of ice that he's dragging out there, some quality scoring chances. He wasn't as good in the faceoff circle as tonight as he was in the first game, where he went 19-11. He was under 50% tonight. But just, he demands the puck when he's on the ice. Strong along the boards. Very similar to what Kopitar does for the Kings with the puck. He does that for the Edmonton Oilers. And again, finding his way to the score sheet three times tonight. Solid game by him.
He's got eight playoff goals and nine playoff games against L.A. going back to last season. A goal and two assists, Leon Draisaitl. Now 5 points in two games. He's tonight's second star. And with the game winner, Klim Kostin, his first career playoff goal, and it's a big one. He's star number one.
Yeah, you got to give him credit for that. He made a heck of a play. He helped force the turnover in the neutral zone. They prevented Kalia from getting the puck in deep. And then instead of just dumping the puck in, he saw a little bit of daylight. He went one-on-one against Durzi. And as he went up against Durzi, he utilized Durzi as a screen, putting the puck, I believe, between his legs. And the goaltender, Korpisalo, was unable to find it. Nicely placed shot. B's the game winner, and just a solid game by him.
So Klim Kostin is star number one with the game-winning goal. Leon Draisaitl, 3 points, a goal and two assists, is star number two. And Philip Deneau with a goal and some good work again on Connor McDavid is our third star. Oilers win it to even the series at one win apiece. The final 4-2 Edmonton. Their goals, Ryan, Draisaitl, Kostin, and Kane. Kings goals, Deneau and Vilardi. 877-KINGS-20. Kings Talk here from the broadcast booth in Edmonton. Here's our trivia question, and winners of our trivia get a couple of tickets to a future Kings game. In the 1990 playoffs, the Kings became the first team to record three hat tricks in one game. Which one of these players did not score a hat trick in the April 10th, 1990 game versus Calgary, a 12-4 win? Who did not get a hat trick in that game for the Kings? Tony Granato, Tomas Sandstrom, Luke Robitaille, or Dave Taylor? We'll take a break. When we come back, Kings Talk and more post-game thoughts here from Edmonton as the Oilers even the series with a 4-2 win tonight. We'll be right back.
New vehicles are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit Toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
Get the official NHL app to watch, read, and listen to all the deets.
All I can say is absolutely wow.
All the sauce, all the saves.
Stop from Vasilevsky!
All the hits, all the snipes, all the sellies.
He scores! Unbelievable!
All the hockey. If it's hockey, it's here. Listen to every NHL game for free now with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Download the official NHL app now.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
Now back to Kings Talk, your post-game reaction to LA Kings hockey. Call 877-KINGS-20 on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
4-2 Edmonton, the final tonight. As we break this one down, just got the final stat sheet. A lot of hits again, as we saw in Game 1. The Oilers credited with 60 tonight. They had 50 in Game 1. The Kings, 48. They had 49 in Game 1. So physicality at both ends. CeCe was the only player the other night who wasn't credited with a hit. And tonight, only two players credited without a hit, Arthur Kaliev and Brett Kulak. 9 hits for Matthias Ekholm, played 21 minutes, defenseman they got at the deadline. Darnell Nurse was a plus 3. Draisaitl, 3 points, plus 1, had 5 hits, had 6 shot attempts. On the King side, Sean Durzi was a minus 3. Trevor Moore was on the ice for both Kings goals, a plus 2. Solid game with Arvidsson and Deneau. But, Darryl, you look at the scoring chances, which you kind of track where they're taken from, the shots on goal. K- Kings need to generate more quality chances moving forward.
Yeah, they're not getting inside the faceoff dots at all. And, you know, you look at the goals that were scored by the Kings tonight, it was around the net. But they're not getting there enough. The goaltender, Skinner, you're capable of beating him. Even the game one when the Kings won the other night, a couple of goals that might have been questionable, but the Kings did not test him enough. There weren't enough grade-A opportunities. They weren't able to create anything off the rush. The Oilers in the first two games have been a faster team over the course of the entire game, more time in possession with the puck, and that's something that the Kings will try to change as they go back home. We'll see whether or not Todd McLellan elects to try to get some different line matchups, some different combinations, maybe an offensive zone faceoff situations, but they've got to get some more quality chances because you put too much pressure upon your goaltender if you're not scoring more than a couple of goals in a game.
And some of the third and fourth line players have to be more effective. They're not doing a whole lot out there to help the cause.
No, they're not. And, you know, again, you look at where, you know, the Oilers get a goal from tonight that becomes the difference maker. It's down in the lineup. Not necessarily all the games are going to be decided by your top guys. And if your top guys, your top two forward lines can, play at par with the other team's top lines, then you got to look to somebody else. And somebody's got to come up with one. Kupari hit a post in the second period. Would have been nice to see that one find the back of the net. That may have given the Kings a little momentum. They would have had a 3-2 lead going into the period, but few and far chances, and again, not even just the chances lower in the lineup. They've got to be able to spend more time in the offensive zone. You've got to either be physical, you've got to be reliable, possess the puck. You just can't go out there and just take up minutes, because otherwise when the other guys come out, there's just too much on their shoulders to have to go after.
877-KINGS-20, 877-KINGS-20. Again, Game 3, Friday night at Crypto.com Arena at 7 o'clock. Let's get to the phones. Steve from La Habra is first up tonight. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being here, watching my favorite guys, the Los Angeles Kings. And so far, so good. We're split. We're 1-1. I can't think any better than that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. There are areas, we've talked about it, where they can be better. You'd like to see them play with a lead. They haven't done that the entire series. They did win game one, but they scored the overtime goal after they battled a tie it late in the third period. Down 2-0, tied it at 2, but then down and eventually lost 4-2 tonight. So, yeah, you get a split in this building, and you look back to last year's series, Steve. Game two, after the Kings won game one, Edmonton kind of humiliated the Kings by shutting them out 6-0. So, when you play each other a lot like the Kings and Oilers have, you figure out stuff. And this was a closer game in that regard, but still, the Kings have some work to do.
Yeah, I think, when you come into this game tonight, and, I think before the series started, you look at that goal and you say, hey, we come away with a split, we're sitting in a good position. I think everybody would agree with that. But after you go out and you win game one, you don't want to fall back on being content to come home with a split. Now this is where you've got to go for the juggler. You've got to create that separation. You've got to find a way to win that game tonight. And they were completely out of the game for the first probably 35 minutes. They clawed their way back in. They end up going into the third period, tied at 2. And they just couldn't come up with anything, any type of a spark offensively. So they've got some work to do. They've yet to play their best hockey in the first two games. So I think they're kind of fortunate the way the games have gone so far. The first one, they battled back. They got some timely goals, a power play connected in the last minute of the game, and then in overtime. That's not going to happen all the time for you. And then tonight, it was a power play that hurt them. They come up with nothing on a power play. They had 4 power plays and no momentum in their favor. So I think the power play, the Kings have had 10 power plays now in the series. They've got to get a little bit more consistency. Edmonton was real aggressive on the penalty kill, so we'll see how the Kings are able to adapt when they get back on home ice.
Well, Leon Draisaitl is driving me crazy, gentlemen. He is a star. Every time you see him setting up in that for the faceoff, I mean, he's just you got to watch him the whole time. We've been lucky and fortunate and worked hard to keep Connor McDavid away from the score sheet, but now I'm just scared that Draisaitl is going to do something.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Kings get the matchups, being the home team in games 3 and 4. Here in games 1 and 2, we touched on this a few moments ago. Jay Woodcroft, the Oilers coach, did not seem to mind Deneau against McDavid and Kopitar's line against Dreisaitl's. Now, Dreisaitl's line has been more productive. I mean, he's got 5 points in 2 games. So does Todd maybe shake that up at home? Does he go with Kopitar against McDavid to try and change around the fortunes? I don't know, but certainly that's something that, you know, you would consider, the way Dreisaitl has performed. And, you know, he's been a machine out there in the 2 series against the Kings going back to last year.
Well, I'll tell you, the best thing we have going for us is we're coming home 1-1, and the Los Angeles Kings are going to bring out the best in our fans. It's going to be a crazy night, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, it will be. Steve, before you go, you want a chance to win our trivia?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, here's the question. In the 1990 playoffs, the Kings became the first team to record 3 hat tricks in 1 game. Which one of these players did not record a hat trick in the April 10th, 1990 game against Calgary, a 12-4 win? Who did not get a hat trick in that game? Was it Tony Granato, Tomas Sandstrom, Luke Robitaille, or Dave Taylor?
I got to be thinking one of my favorite players, Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille did not get a hat trick in that game. You're right. He had 2 assists. Tony Granato had 3 goals and 2 assists. Sandstrom had 3 goals and 2 assists. Taylor had 3 goals and 1 assist. And matter of fact, those 9 goals by those 3 players with hat tricks on 10 total shots. Kings, the only team in playoff history to have 3 hat tricks in a game. They're the only team in the regular season history of the league to have 3 hat tricks in 1 game. Steve, congratulations. Stay on the line, and we'll get you a couple of tickets to a future game, all right?
That sounds great, gentlemen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Steve. 877-KINGS-20. Let's go to Yorba Linda. Mike next up on the show, Kings Talk. Hi, Mike. Are you there, Mike? Okay, let's move on. Let's see if we've got Dave in Las Vegas tonight. Are you there, Dave?
Hi there. You know, I've been a fan since it was Bob Miller and Nick Nixon on the radio. I think you're doing a great job. Thank you so much. But, hey, you know, I'm thinking goaltending is the way we're going to win this, especially in the second period. Skinner gave up a couple leaky goals, and I'm thinking, it just seemed like Klim Kostin outside the circle was like, you really need to make that save. But, I mean, going in with a split, I guess it's okay. I just think, so I listened to an Oilers podcast, and they're going into, just I just wanted to bathe myself in Oiler tears for a while. And they're like so, they're so sure that they're going to win. One of the guys said, yeah, so Kings take game 1, so at least we're going to see 5 games in this series. And the other guy's like, no, that's not the math on that. And the guy couldn't even comprehend the Kings sweeping, you know, like it wasn't even in his thought process. And it's not going to happen, but just I mean, there's like this pause where he's like, what? The Kings won game 1, and now we know we're going to see 5 games. And like, well, that's not the math. We could actually sweep, so I just feel like the Kings have a chance to really kind of upset like this whole mindset of the Oilers just knowing that they're going to win.
Well, you know, we talked about it earlier, and Daryl mentioned it. Skinner kind of iffy on the 2 goals the Kings scored, especially the Vilardi goal. I'd like to see a couple of angles on it again. But, you know, you could make the argument that after 2 games, Korpisalo has been the better goaltender.
I have no question in my mind that Corbisalo's been better. He gave the Kings a chance to win both games. Took the Kings a while to get their game underneath them in game one, basically 40 minutes almost, and he held them in there at that point. Tonight, again, a couple of real timely saves. Fortunate bounce in that first goal that came off the wide shot by Dreisaitl. Ryan was able to pound it in off the backboards, but other than that, he came up with some big saves that allowed the Kings to be able to hang around, but the Kings never did get their A game underneath them tonight.
Dave, thanks for the call.
Right.
Appreciate it.
I think that's the way. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Let's go to Rockville, Maryland, 877-KINGS-20. Mitchell is next up on the show. Hi, Mitchell. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm sort of struck by the fact that despite, as you've said, over the two games, the Kings really haven't been able to assert themselves in the offensive zone and have really a you know great complement of grade A scoring opportunities, but at the same time, even with the Oilers' better defensive play, they haven't been you know definitely shut down from being able to enter the zone, and you know from my standpoint, I obviously don't have any idea about. Analytics time. Let's say in the third period, they were in the zone, the offensive zone. But it wasn't as if they were, you know, basically struggling to get any time in the offensive zone at all. And you know, from just a standpoint, that seems encouraging. They, as you say, have to get, be in the position to get better scoring opportunities that aren't. Pretty much from the outside, but they have been able to access the zone. I just wanted to get a sense of, you know, your thoughts on that.
Well, Mitchell, I'm looking at my sheet right now, and I do my own stats up here in the booth, and you talk about entering the zone. That's fine and dandy. Edmonton will give up their blue line, but when you look at the Kings' shots, they had arguably a shot and a half that were inside the faceoff dots. Everything else come from outside the top of the circles and outside the dots outside. So very, very little traffic in front. The goaltender, Skinner, was able to track the puck. So the Kings have to get inside. They've got to get into the hard scoring areas. And that's where Edmonton, I thought, did an outstanding job. Not only their defense, which is big and rangy, they were able to stand up because their forwards did a great job back checking from the backside. They just, it was like an accordion effect against the Kings. They give the Kings no time and space. So this is where the Kings have to be a little bit cleaner with the puck and get their legs going and get their minds going. And that's something that, you know, you try to establish from shift to shift. The Kings weren't able to put a couple of shifts back to back where they could kind of take the flow of the game away from Edmonton. Edmonton dictated tonight, and they dictated their way to a victory.
Yeah, I'd like to see on home ice the Kings crash the net early on, create havoc around Skinner, get him off his game, because like we talked about earlier, I think after two games, Corpusano has been the better of the two goaltenders.
Yep.
So and Skinner is a rookie. Corpusano a little more NHL experience, both in regular season and in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, they've got to figure out a way how they can generate some momentum earlier on in games, because in both games one and two, they've been down 2-0 after one period and outplayed in both first periods so far in the series.
Yeah, just you exert too much energy having to come from behind all the time. And it's not to say that you've got to go out there and score the first goal of the game, but let's face it, the Kings in the first period tonight, they didn't even have a scoring chance.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, they spent no time in the offensive zone.
A couple wraparounds and one shot from the boards by Gavrikov.
Your sense is that even with shots coming from the outside, the fact that the Oilers have pretty much been able to clear out from the front of the net hasn't even given, you know, the opportunity for, you know, a deflection or hitting off of someone that might, you know, get past Skinner. That hasn't even been in play, basically, for the most part. They've been open looks as far as Skinner's concerned, as what he's looking at. And so it's been, they've made it easier on him than, you know, then would be the preference.
Absolutely. Yeah. We would agree with you right there, and we'll see if it changes when the scenery changes. games 3 and 4 in L.A. Mitchell, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. All right, we'll take a break. 877-KINGS-20. Oilers have a 4-2 win in the bag here tonight. They have even the series at 1 win apiece. We'll be right back.
Are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit Toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
You. Y-O-U. Three little letters to make a very small word.
That means so many things, because no you is ever one single thing.
You.
If put at the start, starts to change everything. To begin a sentence,
begin with you.
Kind of makes you wonder
how big you can become when you
comes first. Every you at the center of what we do. Blue Shield of California.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
Now back to Kings Talk. Your post-game reaction to LA Kings hockey. Call 877-KINGS-20 on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Kings Talk post-game show continues here in Edmonton. Again, the Oilers win it 4-2 to even the series. Joined now by Zach Dooley, the Kings beat reporter. Zach has been downstairs. He's talked to players and coaches. And, Zach, what were some of the takeaways from the Kings people here tonight?
Well, Nick, talking with Todd McLellan, I think there were a lot of similarities between Game 1 and Game 2, except for tonight it was the negatives of Game 2 that outweighed the positives. It was the start that Todd McLellan was most disappointed in, equated it in many ways to the way that the Kings started in Game 1, and didn't elaborate exactly on the things he'd like to see his group do better, but informed us that the team knows the things that they aren't doing well in the first periods of these games, and going down 2-0 won't be a recipe for success across the 7 games. Now, there is the positive as well, the resiliency the group showed once again. Once they got going and started doing some things differently, they were able to get themselves right back in the game, and that certainly is a positive. But when you go down 2-0, as the Kings did in Game 1 and now as they did in Game 2, you can't win all those games, especially against this team. And I thought that was Todd McLellan's biggest takeaway.
And I know Todd mentioned yesterday and even today when he addressed the media, he said we have to be better. And there are players that have to be better. And looking at tonight, some of the younger players, they have to be better. They need to be better. I mean, the Kupari line out there for 2 of the 4 goals, mishandling the puck in the neutral zone, and Kostin picks it up. Now, Durzi screened Korpisalo on the shot from the replays we saw. But, you know, if you're going to win a playoff series against a good team, you have to be good from top to bottom. And I think right now, to me, a concern would be the performances from some of the bottom six.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that in addition to that has to be Gabe Vilardi, who came back in tonight.
Was good tonight.
He was. And, you know, Todd's actually kind of thought that Gabe mirrored the team a little bit tonight. He said he struggled to get into the game a little bit, as Gabe himself said in the room. Gabe personally thought his first period was terrible, I believe was the word he used, but liked how he was able to settle into the game, thought he found his legs a little bit in the second.
Which is natural, because he hasn't played in 3 weeks, right?
100%, and it's not even coming in November, right? It's coming in Game 2 of a very high-intensity playoff series. So Vilardi felt that he kind of settled into the game as it went, obviously got rewarded with the goal. McClellan said similar things. But not a ton of conversation about the bottom six specifically, but against this team, especially when they go 11 forwards and 7D, everyone has to be able to play against those big guns. You saw it early when Draisaitl was out there against the fourth line because he was playing with Edmonton's fourth line. That can impact a game, and you have to assume Edmonton probably continues that route, and these younger guys are going to have to step up and log those matchups.
Yeah, because you can't play your top two lines every other shift.
Right.
So, yeah, going to be interesting. All right, Zach, thank you. Appreciate it. Zach Dooley, the Kings beat reporter, with some thoughts from down in the dressing room after tonight's game two, a game where the Oilers even the series with a 4-2 win. All right, let's get to the highlights. It was early in the game when the Oilers took a 1-0 advantage. Oilers win the draw. Kostin took the draw. They get it in deep, and now to center quickly, the Kings' Kapari. Rakaliev on right wing. He got checked to the ice just as he got the pass. And turning up ice, Edmonton. Draisaitl to the attacking line. Moves in the middle. Shoots, fired it wide. Score! Ryan on the rebound. Leon Draisaitl got the puck on right wing, gained the Kings line, nice move into the middle, but he shot it wide, came off the end dasher right to Derek Ryan, who buries it. An early lead here in game two for the Oilers. Derek Ryan and Edmonton up, 2:34 into the game, 1-0.
His first of this playoff year, Draisaitl and Nurse with the assist, that goal at 2:34. Oilers, number one power play in the NHL, had only one power play chance tonight. They cashed in. It was midway through the first period. Oilers in the regular season had the best power play in the NHL at 32.4%. NHL record. McDavid quickly in the zone. Feeds it across left side. Nugent Hopkins. Now they'll set it up. Up high in the middle. Bouchard to the left circle. Cross ice feed. Draisaitl scores. McDavid to Draisaitl. Just great quick puck movement. Bouchard to McDavid, who one-touched it across for the one-timer by Leon Draisaitl. Power play goal for Edmonton. They're up 2-0. Leon Draisaitl now has 8 goals in 9 playoff games against L.A. 2-0 Edmonton.
And he's got 3 in this series already. McDavid, his first point in the series, and Bouchard with the assist. That goal again at 12:06 made it 2-0. Kings did not get their first shot on goal until about 5 minutes left in regulation. In the first period, they were credited with only 3 shots in that first period, 2 wraparound attempts and a shot from the boards by Gavrikov. So it was 2-0 Edmonton. We moved on into period number 2, and the Oilers had a great chance with McDavid trying to make it 3-0, 4 minutes into the period.
2-on-1 the other way. McDavid in to the net. Shoots. Save is made. Korpisalo robbing Connor McDavid.
Yeah, that kept it 2-0, so a big stop right there. And then the Kings started chipping away, and they got on the board at 14:38.
And now the Kings to center with Trevor Moore. Moore for Anderson. Right wing over the line to Deneau. Right circle. He'll hand it off. Shot. Moore blocked. Moore again moving behind the net. Sends it in front, but it's broken up by an Edmonton stick. Puck behind the net, centered in tight. A chance. Score! Philip Deneau!
Yeah, Philip Deneau from Kempe and Anderson at 14:38. Get the Kings on the board. Kings had 2 straight power plays and a 2-man advantage for 16 seconds to tie it up, but their power play was 0-for-4 tonight. Period was winding down, but the Kings found a way to tie the game.
Puck out to center ice. 3 seconds, 2. The Oilers at full strength. Kings get it down into the Edmonton end. Kings power play so far in the game has let them down. 0-for-4. Oilers with a 1-goal lead now in on left wing to the net. Vilardi a chance and tight. And he scores! Gabe Vilardi! In transition, moved in on left wing, took it to the net. A little stick handling move in tight on Skinner, and Gabe Vilardi
his first game in this series coming off the injury, ties the game at 2 with 41.9 seconds left in the second period. And his first career playoff goal, Moore and Gavrikov with the assist. So the Kings, like they did in Game 1, battled back from a two-goal deficit to tie it up. We went into the third period, and it was early on when Edmonton scored what proved to be the game winner. Durzi headmans the puck. Picked up by Kapari, swings wide inside his line, gave it back to Durzi, and off to Kaliev, but he couldn't handle the puck. Picked up in the neutral zone by Edmonton. The Oilers gain the line, shot from the left circle, and they score! Klim Kostin on a harmless-looking shot from the left-wing boards. Threw it in down low, and it beat Korpisalo. And early here in the third period, Kostin has given the Oilers a 3-2 lead. Yeah, Kostin picking up the puck at center, using the defenseman, Durzi, as a screen. Used him perfectly. Korpisalo, I don't think, ever saw the shot. Unassisted, game-winning goal at 2:20. Kostin's first career playoff goal. It's the game winner. Then the empty net goal by Kane wrapped it up from Draisaitl at 19:37, and the Oilers win at 4-2. All right, around the NHL, we had three other series resume. A couple of surprises, and Daryl will get us caught up.
Yeah, tonight in Carolina, in overtime, it's the Hurricanes over the Islanders by a score of 4-3. With the win, they take a 2-0 lead in the series, with the series now going back to Long Island. Fast with the overtime winner, it comes 5:03 into the extra contest. Slavin, a goal and an assist for the Hurricanes. Palmieri and Nelson, a goal and an assist each for the Islanders. The Islanders are yet to get a power play goal in the series. Carolina has three. Boston at home playing host to Florida, leading the series 1-0. A 2-2 game going into the third period. Montour's first of two goals in the game. It comes 22 seconds into the third period. No looking back for Florida. They go on and they defeat the Bruins by a score of 6-3 to even that series at one apiece. Verhaeghe had a goal for Boston. Marchand, his second of the postseason, shorthanded. Bertuzzi, a power play goal, his first. The final score in Boston, Panthers 6, Bruins 3. That series now shifts to Florida, tied at 1. In Dallas, the Stars even their series with Minnesota, 7-3. They win this one. They had a 4-1 lead, and Minnesota scored two goals 11 seconds apart in the second period. Got themselves back to within one, but then Dallas put their foot back on the gas. Roope Hintz had a big night. He had three goals, including a shorthanded goal, a power play goal, and an assist. Heiskanen, four assists. Dallas went 3-for-6 on the power play. Minnesota Sundqvist, he had a goal. Fleury Annette, he gets the loss. The final score, Dallas 7, Minnesota 3. That series will go to Minnesota, tied at 1. And again, the other series will resume tomorrow. Seattle in Colorado leading that series 1-0. Tampa in Toronto leading the series 1-0. Rangers in New Jersey, Rangers leading that 1-0. And Winnipeg, they lead their series in Vegas 1-0. The road team won all four of those games last night.
All right, I have to look up. I don't think. I'm going to guess Boston hasn't given up six goals all year, and they gave up six tonight. They only lost, what, 12 times or something? So, we'll have to see if that's the most goals they've given up in a game. Boston with a league record for wins and points in a regular season, the President's Trophy winner. All right, we say goodnight here from the broadcast booth in Edmonton. Our thanks to our producers, Jeff Cabot and Jerry Dombrowski. We'll talk to you Friday at home for Game 3 at Crypto.com Arena, 7 p.m. FanFest outside starts at 4. Come down early. Have some fun. Our coverage, 6 o'clock with Game Night, hosted by Jesse Cohen, right here on your home for Stanley Cup playoff action, the LA Kings Audio Network, the iHeart Radio app. For Darrell Evans, Nick Nixon, so long, good night from Rogers Place. The final in Game 2 is the Oilers even up the series at 1-1 apiece. Edmonton 4, the Kings 2. Good night, everybody.
You've been
been listening to Kings Talk along the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Scores! Snuck behind a defender, deked and tucked it in down low.
Follow the Kings all postseason wherever you are with the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network. Download the iHeart Radio app for free. Join us next time for the excitement of LA Kings playoff hockey.